Just get your Bible open, and you can follow me along as we go through these things. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs, and thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And Lord, we're gathered here tonight. It's that time of year where we think about giving thanks. Shouldn't be anything really special or different than we always do, but it is a day when we make much about it. And Lord, pray you would help us tonight. I pray you would speak to us through these scriptures we're going to read. Help us, Lord, to understand this thing. And not only that, but just help us to look, each one of us, at our own life, our heart, our mind, our family, our blessings, all of ours, our own. For once, Lord, I pray we'd all look inwardly instead of outwardly at others. Help us to realize tonight how good you've been to us and each one, and to mark those things and to have a thankful heart and a thankful attitude, spirit about us, to live in it, not just practice it and not just do it on special occasions or on a time when we need you. I pray, Lord, that we'd live in this realm of being thankful. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So many things to say about being thankful. And through the years, we've said all kinds of things about it. But, you know, let's just take a few minutes tonight here. And let's just talk about this. What am I thankful for? Now, I can tell you what I'm thankful for. We ought to be thankful for the same things, basically. You know, everybody in here is pretty much in the same kind of life. We've all got our family. We've all got our problems. We've all got our needs and things and burdens and all of that. But we've all got the same kind of blessings from God, too, if you just look for them. We look at too much of what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have. And the thing about it is, we have to be pared down to nothing, to the ground, before we start appreciating little things. We're spoiled, and we got to admit it. That's what we are. We have so much that we don't count little things as anything. And the little things are really the blessings of life. And as you get older, I just know you'll figure that out, because I've already figured it out. The great blessings of life are not these great big things that we get or that we experience or all that. It's just the little things of life, normal things, family, things that we gripe about a lot and murmur about. Shame on us for griping and murmuring and complaining about the things that are the blessings of our life. If you live long enough to figure out that you gripe and complain about something, then it's taken away from you, and then you wish you had been more thankful and that you'd appreciated it while you had it.
Yes, sir.
What am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for what God has done for me. Now, there's more than I can even mention tonight when I just sit down and just start thinking about what God has done for me. In the last 40 years, what has he done for me? Well, he's kept me alive. First, he saved my soul and changed my whole eternal destination. And that's worth everything right there. He forgave me, and he has forgiven me many times. He's supplied my needs. Well, I mean, how much could I go on? He's given me a family. He's given me children. He's given me grandchildren. I can just see so many blessings. I mean, to sit there and listen to them sing tonight, what a blessing. God has done that for me. And so I ought to thank God for that. How many more blessings? Well, I can't count them. I can't even begin. We could stay there all night. About all the times that he has supplied the need when it didn't seem like it's ever going to get supplied. There wasn't no earthly way. God came through every time. He always does. What has He done? What has He done for you? What has He done in your life? If you're sitting there tonight and you can't think of nothing, pity you. Pity you. You're blind. Even if you're sitting here tonight and you're lost as you can be, God has done more for you than you even know about yet. I've heard people give testimonies about how that they almost got killed so many times before they ever got saved. And thank God for having mercy and for His kindness and long-suffering. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Make known His deeds. Thank God for what He has done for you. You know, don't murmur and complain about what He hasn't done for you and call it prayer. You hear me? Don't do that. That's what a lot of people do. They've always got all these needs, and oh Lord help, oh Lord give, oh Lord do. I tell you, you ain't going to get very far in prayer that way. Nope, 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 nope. How do you get started in prayer? What's the key that unlocks the gate to His courts? Thanksgiving. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving. God likes a thankful heart, a thankful attitude, just like you do. You don't like it when you care for somebody and you sacrifice for somebody and you go out of your way to help them and do for them and they don't even say thank you and show no gratitude whatsoever, as if they deserved it from you. It makes you kind of back away too, don't it? Want to, anyway. Well, God, it does something for God when you truly, with a real and sincere heart, thank Him. When you feel that, when you are that inside. You see what I'm saying? It's one thing to say thank you, but I mean it's another thing to be grateful. To have gratitude in your heart and in your mind and to realize I don't deserve nothing but to be in hell with my back broke. And God has kept me alive and He's given me breath and He's kept me healthy and strong enough to go. We ought to thank Him for what He has done for us. And we ought to thank Him for the things that He's not done for, some of them. I thank God for some things that He hasn't done for me. That would have changed, things that would have sent your life down another pathway where you wouldn't want to be now. Oh, yeah. Those kind of things you learn later on. I mean, you'll come to that point later on. We set our sights on something and we set our heart on it and we want it and we pray for it and we desire God to help us get it. And when He says no, then we're kind of sore about it. But later on down the road, when you realize and you see how things have worked out, you realize God had my best interests and He loved me and He did it for my good. Now, like when a child grows up and finally gets mature enough to understand life, and then he looks back at what his mom and dad did and appreciates it. He didn't then, but he does now, because now he understands. And that's the way this thing works too. I thank God for what He does, His deeds, things that He always does, because He's like He is. And some things God is predictable. He always provides. You can count on that, can't you? Yeah, He does. He will provide. We're all sitting here tonight, fat and healthy. Yeah. God supplies. We're not starving. We're not desolate. God has supplied our needs. He always comforts when we need the comfort. There is no other comfort but God. There isn't. You can't get any help from anybody, any comfort from anybody. You can get sympathy, but that's not comfort. God's the comforter. The Holy Ghost of God is the comforter. And He does that. I thank God for that. You ever needed comfort? I mean, really, real comfort. Have you ever needed somebody to hold you? Your soul. He does that. I can tell you, God does that for His. You belong to Him, He'll be there. He said, I will send the Comforter. And He did. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. And I'll send the Comforter, see? It's going to be better for you. He can do more for you than I can do right here physically. I understand that. Because I know what it is like for God, the Holy Ghost, to comfort my heart. So I'm thankful tonight that I know that. I'm so thankful that I'm not in the darkness and I've never experienced that kind of comfort and that I don't know where to find it. I look around at people who are lost and they have no comforter. They despair in their failures and messes that they make with their life. And in the darkness out there, they despair. They have no comfort and no comforter. I do. I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, for the Comforter tonight. He always does that. And He protects us. God protects His own. You don't even know how many times tonight God has protected you from harm, from all kinds of other things that could have happened and could have changed your life, could have taken things away from you that you love. I mean, God's merciful. And He always does these. I thank God that He does those things. Those are the deeds, some of the deeds of the Lord. I thank God for delivering me from evil people. Yeah. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 35. Same chapter as I read the first verse out of. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. Psalm 18, verse 48, He delivereth me from mine enemies. You believe God does that? I know He does. Yes, He does. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. A thankful people, going to be a singing people.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You'll have a song to sing. And I'm thankful because He delivers me from evil and evil people. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad y'all are so excited about this Thanksgiving thing. Hope you can understand these things. There's no way to even know at this point in my life or yours what would have happened to us if God had not protected us and delivered us from what evil people had in mind for us. You don't even know tonight who has schemed against you and what they had planned for you that God put a stop to because you're His. See, the whole thing about being thankful is belonging to God and then beginning to realize what He does for you. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. And the Lord is on my side. I mean, the Lord's going to shine the light in. He is going to bring me into the light. We read that this morning, I think. We may know some, but we don't know the worst of what God has delivered us from. You think about that. Because people, here's the thing, because people are so clever and resourceful when it comes to doing evil to others, it's a sure thing that God has delivered us from evil, violent people. Oh, yes. I know some. that he has. But I know there's more that I don't even know about. People and their sharp tongues and their gossip. I've been thinking a little bit today about things in the past and how so much of it was. In fact, I've been thinking through the years. I've been thinking about through the years and all the trouble that I have encountered in the work of God, especially. But every single bit of it can be put right on one thing, a gossiping tongue. Somebody running their mouth, trying to destroy somebody, trying to cause trouble. It's that thing that God hates, he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that. Because the talebearer separateth chief friends. I mean, how many times has God delivered me from that? Well, I know he has a few times that I know of. And so I know there's much more than that. So I thank God for what he does, what he's done, and what he's doing for me. I thank him for delivering me from evil and from evil people. And I thank God because he is holy. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." You ever thank God because he's holy? You ever have thankfulness in your heart because God is holy? If God were not holy, what kind of world would this be? If God were not holy, what kind of hope would we have? Look how bad this world is now. If there wasn't a holy God in heaven, what would it be? For those of you who refuse to surrender your heart to God, you're going to find out soon. He's going to take the salt and the light out of this world, and you get to see what it's like without God. We think we live in an ungodly world now. Wait, just wait. You think it's dark now, just wait. And some of you sitting here right now are going to see it, going to experience it. But God is holy, and for this we ought to be thankful. There's no malignancy in him. He is benevolent. He is kind. God is love. He's not like what we see in people and in this world. He's holy and he's good and he's wonderful. That's what God is. And I'm thankful he's that way. I'm thankful there's a good God in heaven who has the last say. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I'm thankful that we have lips to thank him with and a heart that feels gratitude toward him, that can feel gratitude toward him. Man, I'm thankful that it's that way. I'm glad I can. Psalm 30, verse 12 says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Can't read the Psalms without realizing he was thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Anywhere you read in the Bible, anybody talking to God, about God, they're thankful. They mention thanks. I'll give thanks. I'll give thanks. As long as I live, forever. And that he will accept our sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107 and verse 22 says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." I ought to be happy about what God's done. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, mercy. I've been thinking about reading Nehemiah and how the people, after a long captivity, we're so glad to hear about God, to hear the word of God, and to talk about the works of God and to be involved in it again. They wept. They'd stand all day, stand and listen to the word of God. and weep and rejoice and shout. Meant something to him. It's a shame and a disgrace for us to be dead and cold and ungrateful and greedy, wanting more, and we're not thankful for all that we have already. We ought to count ourselves as rich because we are. And we ought to realize that we've got more, much more than we deserve. What's the difference in me and some poor little kid that's born over in some jungle somewhere? With somebody, all he sees is murder and slaughter and butchery and evil. And never have food to eat and live in a situation like, what's the difference in you and them? You tell me tonight, what's the difference in you and them? Why? Why? Why do you have so much and they have nothing? And they're grateful for any little morsel or crumb. And we're dissatisfied with all of our abundance. Tomorrow, all across this country, everybody will sit down at a table full of more than they can possibly eat, of every kind of thing you can imagine, and they'll sit there and turn up their nose and say, hey, yuck, and that's nasty, and I don't like it, I don't want that. In other places in the world, a big part of humanity won't have nothing to eat, not a bite. And if they had a cracker, they would be thankful. Yeah. So we ought to be thankful. For God and that He will accept our thanksgiving. What kind of sacrifice is it to give thanks? The sacrifice of thanksgiving? Looks to me like it's a privilege. That the God of heaven would listen to us? Oh, yeah. That's what He wants to hear. That's what He's glad to hear. That's what gets His attention. Jesus healed 10 lepers. How many returned to give thanks? One. And he was a Samaritan. The stranger. The lowest of them all. But he turned around and come back to say, for healing me. Don't ever forget to give thanks. It's not just tomorrow, and it's not just tonight. It's every morning, noon, and night, every day, every minute you live, you ought to be looking to God with a grateful heart. Instead of complaining and murmuring. Have you ever got a little bit of understanding from the Word of God about how the children of Israel murmuring in the wilderness, how that set with God? It made God very angry. Yeah. And it still does. And we murmur and complain. That's what we do. We don't give thanks much. You thankful to be here tonight? You thankful you can get on your feet and walk? You thankful you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears? Are you thankful you got somebody to be with? Somebody that cares about you? There's multitudes of people that ain't got nobody. I'm sure Esther can tell you about some in a nursing home tonight. They ain't going to hear from nobody tomorrow. Or the next day. Or the next day. And there's people in there who are like that, but who are thankful that they've got a bed to sleep in and got people that take care of them. And thankful to be alive. And have the opportunity to do something for somebody. There's people like that. Okay. I'm thankful tonight because God judges righteous judgment. That's a comfort to me. I look to that often. The fact that there's a God in heaven who, no matter how unjust we're treated or how unjust the world is, there is a God in heaven who will have the final say. And it'll be righteous judgment for the righteous and for the wicked. God's going to call it one day, and He gets the final word. And He is going to make it right. Men won't. You ain't going to get a fair shake in this world. I told my kids all the time they was growing up, and you can ask any one of them, I said, you better get used to it. The world is not a fair place. The world is not going to treat you fair. So you better learn how to deal with it now. Because I'd hear that, you know, well, that's not fair. Well, get used to it, buddy. That's life here on this world. Because it's full of wicked people who are selfish. And they ain't going to treat nobody right. It's all about me. I saw there yesterday where some guy's suing Kentucky or some state because they wouldn't let him have his license plate. He wanted a personalized license plate that said, I'm God. And they wouldn't let him have it. So he's suing them. Well, everybody can't have a license plate like that. I mean, good night. Everybody would want one if they'd be honest about what they think of themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to treat everybody. Everybody's going to get it for them first. So get used to it. The world's not that way. But also remember and give thanks that there is a God who's a-watching, and everything's been, every idle word that men speak is being recorded because we're going to give account of it to God. Why? Because God's the judge, and He's the righteous judge. Psalm 119, verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgment. Have you ever got up at midnight just to give thanks to God? Because He's righteous. And He's a righteous judge. You ever done that? He did. And He said, I will. Must have been something He did often. I'll rise at midnight to give thanks. Think that'd please God? Think God would smile upon that? Oh yeah. Reckon you'd get His ear. Reckon you'd be on praying ground if you got up just to give thanks to God. I mean, honestly, really, truly, with a heart full of gratitude, not just an act that you're doing or a prayer you're going to do. You know, they say, here's five prayers you can read. Well, who? You don't read prayers. What a phony bunch of junk. God's looking on your heart. He's looking to hear from your heart. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful because God is merciful to me. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Over 40 times in the Bible, it says that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. I'll tell you what, tonight, I can stand right here and I can say to you that I know that I have received mercy from God for some of the same things that I have seen other people not receive mercy. God has spared me from things that there. I don't know any reason why He did it, other than He just loves me and had mercy on me. Things could be so different. Things could be so messed up, so wrong, but God had mercy. And that's why that I can say with the psalmist, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What did I tell you the other night? What, and I tell you often, what is mercy? Come on. Unmerited favor. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Or getting something that you didn't deserve. You know what I'm talking about? Positive. But mostly, we think of it, and mostly in practice, that's the way it is. It's not getting what you deserve. Punishment. This taken away. Loss. What you deserve. God just spares you because of his mercy. Reckon you could say that too? You reckon God's ever showed you mercy? Have you suffered what you deserve for everything you've ever done? No. Ain't nobody in here suffered for what you deserve. None of us. We've not got what was coming to us because God's merciful. You kids think your mom and dad treat you real bad. Boy, just spank you all the time and everything. Always in trouble. Nah, you don't get near what you deserve. And that's the truth. And you know that. You do all kinds of things that you ought to get in trouble for. And you don't. And a lot of times it's just because they have mercy on it. It's not because you're so sneaky and so clever and so sly that they can't catch you. I know things that the kids have done, they don't know that I know. They still think I don't know. They think they really pulled one over. There's mercy. I remember them being little. And I remember different times I would do this with them to try to get them to understand what mercy was. You know, they's in trouble. And they'd done something. And it's time for the woodshed. And we'd go there to get it done. And I'd just tell them, well, you know, you deserve it, don't you? Well, if they would admit that they did, well then, okay. And I didn't do this often, but once in a while. And I'd say, well, I want you to understand what mercy is. You deserve it, and I ought to give it to you. But I'm going to show you mercy and what it is. Do you understand tonight what mercy is from God? We don't experience it much from other people. People are pretty merciless. And that's why most people don't understand the mercy of God. Because he said, I will show mercy to them that have mercy. I mean, if you show mercy, if you're merciful, God will show you mercy. If you're not, God is a little tighter with it on you. Thank him because he's merciful. I thank God tonight because it is the will of God that I give him thanks and pleasing to him when we are thankful. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God? Everybody wants to know what the will of God is. Well, there it is spelled out real plain for you. The will of God is for us to be thankful about everything. Thankful for everything. You get in your car to drive to work. When you get there, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here safely. You wake up in the morning, the first thing you ought to think is, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through the night, giving me another day to live. Thank you. It ought to be our way. It shouldn't just be something that we practice or, you know, a routine or a habit. It ought to be what comes out of us. We ought to realize that our very breath is from God. Every beat of your heart is from God. In everything, give thanks. What about the bad stuff? What about when things don't go well? What about when when you get a bad deal from somebody else? Somebody don't treat you right. Get mad? Get bitter? I mean, try to spread it around all you can about that sorry lowdown and what he did to you or me. What are you supposed to do? Give thanks. Well, hey, there's examples in the Bible. That's exactly what they did. Just trusted it to the Lord. Said, Lord, thou seest. The Lord knows. Trust it into his hand. Thank you, Lord. Maybe that evidently the Lord in his divine wisdom has ordained that this is what I need right now. Do you trust God? Do you believe in him? Then in everything, give thanks. Everything. Not just the good things. Not just the things that please us. We ought to give thanks in everything. Don't you think that's right? You got a real good job, and then you lose that job. What should be the attitude? God has forsaken me. God, why'd you let this happen to me? Why not say, well, Lord, thank you for all those months, years, whatever I had that. I sure appreciate it. Don't know what I'm going to do now, but I'm sure we'll find some way. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that it was. Don't you think that would please the Lord? Don't you think that would make him much more inclined to help you to the next step, which he already knows what's going on? It's the will of God in everything. Give thanks. And then I thank the Lord because of the brethren. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God. Always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I thank God for the Christian brethren. I thank for the ones I know now. I'm thankful for the ones I've known all through the years. I really, really do. How could I have made it without them? How could you make it? You cannot make it alone. God didn't set it up that way. We're not all lone wolves. We need one another. We're a body. And we're members of that same body. We're not all just individuals living our lives. You know, we need each other. And God, if you will give it to God and surrender really to him, he'll provide that for you. Boy, I know that's right. It's hard times we're living in this area. There is so much wrong with the churches and with everything. It's so messed up. We're living in apostasy. But I sure do thank God for the few that I know. That are a help, an encouragement, a blessing just to know them. They don't have to do nothing for me. Just as long as I know they're still at their post. And they're still faithful. And they still believe the truth in the same old way. And they ain't compromising and they ain't sneaking around. I thank God for them. Nobody knows a bunch of them. Ain't nobody got a whole bunch of people like that. They're few in everybody's life. But I'm thankful for it, buddy. I'm thankful tonight for the brethren. To have Christian brethren is such a blessing. Such a great blessing. And surely we don't give thanks often enough for those who are on this journey with us. We don't. This is to me tonight too. Man, I need to say to the Lord, thank you, Lord. I need to remember, thank you, Lord, for brother so and so. Yeah. Sure, I'm glad that you put him in our life. Sure, I'm glad that we crossed paths with him. Sure, I'm glad for their influence. The little bit of seasoning that they put in our life, or the big part, big deal of it, you know. Everybody makes a difference in your life. You're not going to be the same after being around certain Christians. You know, if they're a real Christian, they're going to affect your life. For good. I mean, forever. You're not going to forget. And you're always going to be affected by it. And it's always going to steer you and guide you. A little or a lot. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. You need them. You need them in your life. We all need them. And so you ought to search them out. Yes, sir. Not secludes ourselves off to nothing, man. Speak. Look for people. Be friendly. All right. What would our life be like without those special folks that we've met along the way who've contributed to our growth and grace and knowledge of the Lord? What would our life be like without them? Oh, I thank you, Lord, tonight for those people. And then I'm thankful tonight because it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We sing that, don't we? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says, Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It really is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing for you to give thanks unto the Lord. When I say anybody got a word, it's a good thing for you to say, well, I just want to thank the Lord for helping me this week, for what he done for me, for just answering prayer, for just encouraging my heart, for speaking to me through a verse of scripture, for supplying a need, for just taking away my burden or lifting it and helping me with it. It's a good thing for you to do that. Not a good thing. Sit there and just not have nothing to say. Never nothing to say. We ought to always be, ought to have to stand in line to say, thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you to the Lord. You come to the house of God, you ought to have your sacrifice of thanksgiving with you, ready. It's a good thing. It's the key that opens the gates of his courts. Enter into his gates, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You're in. Have you ever experienced that, trying to pray? You ever just fall down and say, oh, Lord, I need help. Lord, please help me. And I need. The heavens are brass. Forget all that. Just say, Lord, I want to thank you for this. And mean it. Start thanking God. Stay there a while. Just praying, thanking God for your family, for your blessings, for your health, for everything. You'll find yourself in the presence of God before you know it. That is the way it works. That's what the Bible says that I just read to you. Psalm 100, verse 4. That's how you get in. That's what unlocks the gate. And you're in. So, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And that's what I'm thankful for tonight. Just off the top of my head. That's a few things that I'm thankful for. Oh, so many more. So much more. Let me read you. I don't know. This may seem a little odd, but I'm going to read you because I wrote it down here. In 1789... George Washington issued this Thanksgiving proclamation, and it's the first Thanksgiving proclamation in the United States, I mean, by the United States government, 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. This was our first president. To obey him, or to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection, aid, and favors. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author. Of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, and for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. People tomorrow are going to talk about thanks. Who are they thanking? I hear them talk about giving thanks. To who? Most of them don't know. It's just another one of these self things. It's something to make you feel good. Well, that's not the way it is. And that's not the way the first president of this country looked at it. And that was typical of the opinion of the people of this country. Yeah. God was to be thanked. Because we wouldn't have nothing if it weren't for him. And we wouldn't even be here. And then in 1863, Abraham Lincoln, another president, he said this. He said, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Now, I would like to hear our president say that. Wouldn't it be? But no, we're so far removed, they can't say that. Well, they could. If I was president, I would say it. And that's what he ought to do. And the next one coming in ought to do. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That's the way. This ignoring God, that ain't going to get us nowhere. And it starts. I mean, the turnaround has got to start with thanksgiving and being thankful to God. Be thankful unto him. The Bible is so full of it. Get your concordance. Go to your computer and look at the times in the Bible that this subject is talked about. And then we bring it up once a year, and we just squeeze it right in there between Halloween and Christmas. And it's tea day. It's turkey day. It's just a time to get off work and have a family fight at a dinner table over politics and junk. That's what a lot of people will be doing tomorrow. There'll be people murdered tomorrow fighting over politics at Thanksgiving dinner. Watch and see. Far, far from what we need to be. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Black Friday, where people trample one another to death trying to get bargains on things the day after they were given thanks for what they had. Baloney. Bunch of junk. What am I thankful for? What are you thankful for tonight? Many, many things. I mean, we got to quit because, you know, we're in church and it can only last so long, but I could keep you here all night talking about things that I'm thankful for. I don't have to dig very deep. It's not a struggle for me to come up with some things I'm thankful for. God's been awful good. And He has answered prayer. And He has fixed things that were broken. And He has just done wonders, really. When I sit back and look at what I've got that matters, of the things that matter, I'm thankful. Yes, sir. Hope you are tonight. Stand it. Let's stand. I hate Black Friday. I hate the way Christmas is done. You know, I hate this pop culture and all that they've done to it. And I'm just not involved in it. Black Friday don't mean a thing to me. I ain't going. I don't care if they're giving the stuff away. You ain't going to find me there in that crowd. I don't need it. I ain't got any money anyway. But even if I did, I ain't. You can wait till the next day and go get the same deals. I've done it for the last 2 or 3 years. I buy them vacuum cleaners for $18 for that 5-gallon shop vac. We got one here, got one at the house, and so I don't need to go in there with that bunch of maniacs. And no, and it ain't worth it to me. What did I want that junk for anyway? That's right. Be thankful. You can't have this kind of attitude and that at the same time. You just can't. You just can't do it now. If you're really thankful to God for what you have, you're not going to be coveting everything that everybody else has and everything else. Covetousness is what? Idolatry. Yeah. Wanting. Never satisfied. Be content with what? Such things as you have. You can do that. People put these pictures on there of a little cabin off in the middle of nowhere. And I seen something here the other day. And somebody said, all I want is a cabin out in the wilderness with internet. I thought, what a dumbbell. And would you live in this cabin for a year for this much money? Well, yeah. Everybody says, oh, I would. Nah. 2 days without their phone and the internet, and they'd be crawling back, whatever they had to do. Get me out of here. Better to be in jail. They got Wi-Fi there. Well, we're doing good now. We've ended up on a sour note. Are you thankful tonight?
I am, Mike. I'm thankful for a lot of things.
Where could you be tonight? I look at us here tonight, you know, and everybody's got their homes, and you know this thing. What if your home is all broken up? What if tomorrow you had to go to one parent's house for a little while, and then go to the other parent's house for a little while, and everything was soured, and everybody's bitter, and everybody's a pulling and a tugging, and a talking about one another, and it's all just soured. And you ought to be thankful here tonight. If you can go tomorrow, you can sit with your family and mom's mom and dad's dad, and we're all here together, and God has spared us from the plagues of this world and the evil that they've And how many of us in here tonight, there ain't no reason in the world why we shouldn't be among that same crowd? Have we made it? By the mercy of God. Ms. Millie.
I want to thank God for my church family.
Amen, Millie. Amen. All right. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. All right. What's he singing? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Father, thank you for our time together. Pray you'd bless our hearts and minds as we go from here. This word, I pray it would stay there. Pray it would be remembered. Pray you'd help us to be this kind of a people, thankful. Thankful unto thee for all your blessings upon us. Help us tomorrow, Lord, to not get caught up in all of the rat race and the revelry and the feasting. Lord, I pray we'd have a day that we really give thanks unto thee and be mindful of the blessings of life that you've been so kind to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.